The virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume,
strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China,
that this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to announce the 96-hour live stream event on frankspeech.com. This is going to be historic. We're going to call it the Thanksathon. It's going to go from 12 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning to midnight on Sunday, November 28th. We're going to unpack the historic U.S. Supreme Court complaint on the 2020 election. And we're also going to be taking apart the biggest crime in history, the 2020 election. We'll be posting the schedule here on frankspeech.com, so keep checking back. This is going to be 96 hours of thanks, hope, and information that we're all going to need to get our country back. You can all do your part right now and let everyone you know to go to frankspeech.com and watch this 96-hour Thanksathon. Thank you and God bless.
Okay, Mike Lindell joins us now. Mike, my guys are over at the Supreme Court waiting for the drop-off. Where do we stand? I know you're flying around. Every time I talk to you, you're in a different state talking to officials. Can you give us an update of where do we stand? You've got the 96-hour that starts, I think, Wednesday night, goes all the way through the weekend. You're going to unpack the complaint, I think, on Thanksgiving Day itself at noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central. It'll be right at the end of the War Room Thanksgiving Day special. We got all that. Can you just get people up to date? Because you're in a different location five times a day. Where do we stand with getting buy-in on this?
Yeah, and I had a quick setup here to give you an update. We're flying around the last couple of days. It's been very chaotic. If getting at 0 hour here, getting these AGs to sign up and get this out there. But we do have a full copy of the complaint with any of the changes that they needed, and we're going to have a great update for you. I'd like to come back on at 5 o'clock, Steve, but this is kind of this is historic. I've seen the complaint. It is epic. That's all I can say. It's epic. I'm very excited. I'm very excited for the changes that they wanted in it. You know, it's their complaint. This is the Attorney General's. This is the state's complaint against the U.S. government. So we're working very hard to get. I told people yesterday.
Let me ask, but certainly come on at 5. You have an open invitation always to come on here, particularly on this issue that's so central to the 3 November movement. Remember, this is Mike Lindell's kind of air game as other people go through the ground game. But here's the thing is that, and you're going to lay out the complaint itself on Thursday, so people will be able to see that. And, of course, that will lead to many great Thanksgiving dinners, for sure, late in the afternoon, as now people have the ability to argue with their favorite uncle or favorite cousin, who maybe is not a Trump supporter. But, by the way, we now know from Richard Barris's polling, there ain't many of them, and there's not a lot that are going to step forward. Only 30% of independents in this nation approve of Joe Biden. That's historic. And by the way, that's in the margin of error. It's somewhere we've said from day one, we can get that number into the 20, which is historic. 30 is historic, but 20 is mega historic. We're going to get it there. But is it, do you think that, and I want to call it an artificial deadline, because I know you're trying to herd cats, right?
Yeah.
With this complaint, but is it the deadline itself, or just walk us through the process? Because people are kind of on tenterhooks about how this rolls.
That was the date I put in there. Obviously, this is their complaint. I put this in because I wanted to put pressure on there to have the complaint so so we can go through it piece by piece. And I put this date on it. Now, I've had many AGs yesterday. I was on the phone with four of them yesterday. And some of them have so much going on right now that, you know, last Friday, they gave them today to fighting these mandates where kids had to take the vaccine. And that was in many states out there. That was very public on Friday. You have a lot of things that are happening out there very suspiciously, almost trying to slow these guys down. But we'll have a, you know, it is like kind of like herding cats. You have different ones at different levels. Well, I do have some, a couple, which I don't want to announce right now, that said straight up, we're not going to do it. And it's a shame. And we're all going to, we're going to have a great way for you to reach out to your own state AG. In fact, Steve, I'm going to have that up by 5 o'clock. I'm going to actually have a copy, full copy. I'm hearing that we'll have a full copy of the complaint, and we'll be allowed to get parts of it out there where you'll have the AGs, your AG right on there where you can email your own AG, because there are states, a couple that are very disturbing, that they gave no reason. We don't want a part of this. We don't want to help save our country. They didn't say that outright, but I mean, what else would it be? I don't get it.
Okay, so we'll have you back at 5. We can put the complaint, but on Thursday, because the complaint's quite voluminous and it's going to need lawyers to kind of walk people through. You're going to have a complete team to walk people through this on Thursday?
Going to have a team of lawyers right after your show. And we want everybody on the War Room to see the everybody out there. You guys need to spread this far and wide, this 96-hour thanksathon we're having. This is so important that we get eyes on this, everybody. We have to get eyes on this, because if this case, even if they, you know, if it gets out today or tomorrow or whenever it's filed, if they're not going to talk about it, and you know Fox, these outlets are not going to talk about it. They're going to chat silence. So we need you, everybody out there, to see it. And we need to get, you know, to just keep pushing them. We will go through it. We'll have a team of lawyers, some that were involved in the writing of it, some that weren't, and go piece by piece. It'll take, I don't know how long it'll take, as long as it takes on Thanksgiving. And we're also on Thanksgiving. Remember, we're going to take everybody back in time from before the 2020 election. Pretend you missed something out there. What did I miss? You won't believe it. I've been going through the timeline, Steve, and the things that came, the stuff that came out back then that they didn't want you to hear or see, it's horrific. All I can say is that's the only word I can say is, why wasn't the public made aware of this? Where was Fox? Where was our news outlet?
Mike, we'll see you back here at 5 o'clock. I know you got other meetings with these AGs today. So as you continue to herd cats, thank you very much for joining us here in the War Room.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. God bless everyone.
So the complaint is quite detailed, and we're going to make sure everybody gets a chance to go through the entire thing as Mike Lindell rounds up the AGs. They're going to be at the tip of the spear of this as they file it. I want to go now. I think we've got the first official domestic terrorist because of CRT and what's the poison that's being put into these schools. Join us from Columbus, Ohio, Amy Gonzalez and Andrea Gross. Amy and Andrea, thank you very much for joining us today in the War Room.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start. You guys pick it. Either Amy or Andrea start, and then we'll go. Tell us what's going on. What happened in your school? How did you guys confront folks? And then what happened? Because it's pretty shocking, I think, your guys' story.
Well, actually, Stephen, what happened was Amy and I were involved very heavily in the school, volunteering. Amy was the lower school parent. I was a 10th grade parent. We were coaching different sports. So we were involved heavily in the school, and we started hearing our director of diversity and community life, as well as our headmaster, referring to our community as representing 110 years of white supremacy. They were separating our kids by the color of their skin, our faculty by the color of their skin. So we decided to ask questions about that. And because we asked those questions, our headmaster actually called the police on us a week and set off our faculty down, all 800 faculty members on the ground, and explained to them that our community was under height threat. because Amy and I, that they had alerted the police, they had alerted the FBI. Our headmaster was then receiving 24-hour security for herself. All this whole time, Amy and I were on the campus for hours a day, the whole time.
Hey, Andrea, hang on one second. I think we're going to reboot you because you're coming in, and I'll pivot to Amy as we reboot you. Somehow we're having a technical problem. So, Amy, what happened? You guys went and asked questions like many of the folks around CRT, and all of a sudden the school got people, got law enforcement involved?
We actually never even specified CRT. We just asked questions about the curriculum. What books are you reading to our children? Are you separating our faculty and kids by the color of their skin? We asked about transparency issues for the board. And instead of receiving any answers, the board allowed the headmaster to investigate herself. And from there, anytime there was a chance to make a decision that would be helpful to the community, it seems that she chose to go in a different direction.
So walk me through this. What's the school's name and how large is it? And were other parents besides yourselves, you and Andrea, involved?
Yes, it's the school's called Columbus Academy. Andrea's family has about 4 decades of history. Her husband attended the school. All of our children have attended this school since they were 4 years of age. There's about 1,100 students that go to the school. And we just wanted to ask some questions because of the things that we were seeing and hearing, and just wanted to confront our concerns with some good ideas, and we're not allowed to do so. The thing is, in private schools, children do not have freedom of speech. And a lot of times people say, oh, well, you're paying to go to this school, so why don't you just take your children and go somewhere else? There really is nowhere else to go. I mean, we had the FBI called on us in April, and now we see it happening to parents in public schools. I heard about Sharana Bishop on your program the other day, and it is absolutely egregious what happened to her. You know, we are trying to band together to protect our children. It seems like in everything, while people are using this trickle-down indoctrination with our children, what they're forgetting is about the safety of our children and protecting them.
Let me ask you, what was your, when you first went, the complaints that you had or the issues you had, could you just go back through those? What were the key issues that you went to the faculty and went to people to talk about?
Well, we realized that the children do not have freedom of speech, but we found it would be difficult for a school to hang its hat on that. And a lot of children felt that they were not allowed to freely express themselves. They knew they had to write papers a certain way in order to get the approval from teachers. One teacher opened the class at the beginning of the year with, please do not tell me if you are a supporter of Trump, because if you are, I will not be able to talk to you. So we were really
hang on a second. What did they say about Trump?
One of the teachers at the beginning of the school year told his ninth grade class, if you are a supporter of Trump, do not tell me because I will not be able to speak to you. So we believe that we needed to stand up and speak out, that our children should be able to freely express themselves, that, you know, it doesn't really matter what viewpoint you have. You can do that in a positive frame, within positive framework.
And we got to jump to break, but we want to hold you through. We're going to try to get Andrea back up. Here's the question. Were there a lot of parents, like in Loudoun County in Arizona, we go throughout the nation in Georgia, you know, there's a big majority of parents that show up, or at least a significant minority show up at these school boards. The question I'll ask you on the other side of the break is, what type of support did you have from the other parents that caused this massive reaction from the administrators in the school, the headmistress and others? We're going to take a short commercial break and return to Columbus, Ohio. The Columbus Academy, designated or turned over to the authorities, people they thought were potentially domestic terrorists because they're standing up for the kids. Next in the War Room. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down.
Okay, John Yarmuth is the head of the budget committee for the Democrats in the House. Guess what he did today? He announced his retirement. You know why? He's one of the guys responsible for this fiasco up here of $5 trillion of additional spending over the $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion deficit we're going to run on an annual basis. Long story short, we're about to add $45 trillion of debt to the balance sheet of the United States. You know what that means for you? It means it's time for you to get out of your kind of sleep and to wake up and understand that you've got to now take action to look at every available store of value, because they're going to crush the United States dollar. The way you do that is text. You got to go to Birch Gold. AAA rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're the guys to go to start to understand precious metals as an alternative. How do you get there? It's simple. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at 484848. That is Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the number, 484848. It's no obligation. You're not committed to anything. You get a 20-page brochure that starts it off. Then you can talk to Philip Patrick and all the great team at Birch Gold. Remember, the United States government, not you, is on a death struggle with the U.S. dollar. It's now time for you to start thinking about your financial alternatives. One of them you have to consider is precious metals, gold and silver. Go to the folks at Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, at the following number, 484848. Take action. Use your agency. Do it today.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I want to go back out to the Columbus Academy in Columbus, Ohio. So, Amy, did you have a lot of parents that also were concerned about this?
We did. Within our community, we started a coalition, Pro-CA Coalition, and it was hundreds of parents, students, teachers, alumni that all were speaking out on behalf of the children. From there, though, what we've realized is that this is national. I believe Christopher Rufo put it best on your show the other day, that we need to all band together. And parents are doing that across the nation, whether you're an independent, private schools, or public schools.
Amy, you said something about the FBI was called in the spring. When did they actually reach out instead of sitting down with the parents and going through how they had this poison in the system? When did they actually reach out to authority to kind of intimidate you guys?
They called the police in April, the beginning of April. I think the report was around the 7th. They called the local police department, who a school resource officer came out and deemed that there was no threat to the school or community. Fully 1 week later is when the headmaster then sat down all the faculty, like 860 plus members of the faculty, to tell them that they were upping security. She was having 24/7 security. The FBI had been alerted, and this was due to us speaking out and asking these questions.
Okay, where do you guys stand right now? I agree that the private school situation, I think, is actually worse than the public school situation. You got to bind, you got to bind together, as Chris Rufo says. What's the status right now at Columbus Academy? What's the status of your children? And Andrea, we had a technical problem. She dropped. What's your guy's status?
Our children were kicked out after the school year. They sent us letters stating that the children were not welcome to come back to the only school they've ever known. We will be filing litigation, and right now we are homeschooling.
Okay, how can people get more? How can they get more information about this? This is pretty shocking. Do you have a Facebook page? How can people find out more about this?
We have a website, procacoalition.com. And then also, I believe I gave to the producer some information about Undercover Mothers, which is a nationwide group of moms that their Substack articles and their banding together, showing that this is not independent schools alone. It comes from the NAIS, the National Association of Independent Schools, who really dictate and push DEI at the school level.
Okay, Amy Gonzalez, thank you very much for joining us. So make sure we get Undercover the Mothers, all of it back up there, and then we figure out the technical problems. We'll have you and Andrea back on. But thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
A shocking story coming out of Columbus where they actually kicked the young children out of the school, the only school they've ever known. This is the type of hardball smash mouth that these school boards and these school administrators do. That's where you got to expose it every day. You got to fight back, right? And we're going to do that. This is the tip of the spear. It's one of the things they fear the most is the moms of America being engaged. That's why they're calling you domestic terrorists. That's why they're getting federal authorities on you. Let's go now to Julie Kelly, the great Julie Kelly from American Greatness. She's been covering the 6th January situation with more in-depth analysis and reporting than anybody. And you know, Darren Beatty's done a fabulous job. Julie's there every day grinding this out. Darren kind of knits this together, these big, huge connection pieces that makes us understand this. Julie Kelly's kind of the tip of the spear in the reporting itself. Julie, thank you. Can you get us up to date on exactly what's happening right now?
Well, thank you, Steve, for that introduction. Thanks for having me on. I think we're up to about 700 defendants now. They are, the FBI is arresting people every week. We're now 10 months past, what are we, almost close to 11 months past the 4-hour disturbance at the Capitol. So they continue to arrest people. They continue to, this is the DOJ, Merrick Garland's DOJ, who's going after mothers across America too. They are delaying discovery obligations. They still don't have a platform accessible for all the defendants and defense attorneys to access thousands of hours of surveillance video and body-worn camera footage. They are now pushing trials into the middle of next year, even for defendants who were arrested a week after the January 6th disturbance on Capitol Hill. And so it's just a lot of games playing. But you know this, Steve, it is ruining the lives of people, hundreds of families across the country. And we're talking about a pool of about 700 defendants. The overwhelming majority, probably 80%, are charged with misdemeanor offenses. There are 4 common misdemeanor offenses, but it doesn't matter because the FBI is still raiding their homes at dawn with armed agents, arresting them at airports, tracking them down. I just got another email from a woman today about what her husband have gone through for months, including being on a restricted TSA list, delayed for hours at the airport, followed by TSA agents for parading at the Capitol charges. These are like Class B misdemeanors. And so that's just part of the problem. And we can talk a little bit more about what these DC District Court judges are doing, now sentencing people like Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, allegedly that's his name, that's how he's known to the public, charged with no violent offense, spent 317 days in solitary confinement, and a federal judge just sentenced him to 41 months in prison for obstruction of an official proceeding. He pleaded guilty to that felony. Just a travesty what this DOJ is getting away with and what they are doing to innocent Americans across this country.
I want to, given the BLM and the destruction, anarchy of Antifa and all this, you know, we saw in Kenosha and other places, the burning of America around the Capitol, trashing, you know, right outside the Hay Adams Hotel and the AFL-CIO, all of that, just to complain. St. John's Church, the city was in absolute turmoil in June and July, the summer of 2020. Go back there. You got 700 defendants. 80% are, you're saying 80% of these are misdemeanors?
That's right. They're overwhelming majority. These between 80 to 85% are only misdemeanor cases. You have roughly 120 or so who have been charged so far with assaulting or attacking police officers. You've got about 70 who have been charged with either possessing or using a deadly or dangerous weapon. This includes things like pepper spray, a skateboard, which I thought was interesting given how prosecutors were downplaying that attack on Kyle Rittenhouse with a skateboard because someone has been charged in the January 6th investigation, where a skateboard is called a deadly and dangerous weapon. We still have dozens of men, suffering under pretrial detention orders. There are roughly 40 in the D.C. gulag right now, denied bail repeatedly. This includes nonviolent offenders who committed no violent crime that day, didn't assault anyone, didn't carry a weapon, didn't use a weapon, didn't destroy any property. Then you've got at least a dozen more in different jails. This includes members of the Proud Boys, also men who largely are not charged with any violent crime. So this is intended to be a scare campaign, terror campaign, really, against Americans on the political right. This FBI continues to terrorize people every single week, DOJ continuing to bring charges for misdemeanor offenses.
No, let me ask you, for the violence that was done that day or for others, they keep calling them insurrectionists. I want to get to the more serious charges. Has anybody been charged with insurrection?
No, not a single person.
I want to just make sure everybody understands that. Julie right. Kelly, the top reporter in this area, has anyone of the 700, 10 months after this, with this massive investigation, has anyone been charged with insurrection?
Not a single person has been charged with insurrection.
I'm missing it when and you know they're in trouble. And let me tell you, MSNBC, you got to suck on this and embrace it. This is why you've lost independence. This is why the Biden administration is cratering every night. You start last night with everything's going on in the world and this radical restructuring of the American economy and, you know, your terrible handling of the CCP virus, the invasion of the southern border. I can go through everything, inflation, the supply chains. You pick it, right? You pick it. Only 30% of American independents support your regime, okay? Yet you lead your shows last night for the first 30 minutes with the January 6th investigation, the January 6th insurrection. They're all insurrectionists. Julie Kelly, let me ask you for the third time. 10 months into what they've said is the biggest FBI investigation ever in domestic stuff. You know, you got agents, you got task force, you got all of it. Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, all of it. Has anyone, ma'am, been charged with insurrection?
Not a single person has been charged with insurrection.
What are the biggest charges that they're charging people with? If it's not insurrection, what are the big charges they're charging people with?
So I call this their head fake charge, which is obstruction of an official proceeding. This is a felony that was passed by felony statute that was passed by Congress in the post Enron era, signed by George W. Bush in 2002. The purpose of this law was to criminalize, prohibit people from interfering in congressional investigations, from destroying and tampering evidence, etc. Merrick Garland's DOJ, I actually call it Lisa Monaco's DOJ because you know she's actually running the show. They've slapped this felony count against 220 January 6th protesters. This is the big felony that you see a lot of the plea deals with. So Jacob Chansley pleaded guilty to obstruction of an official proceeding. That's how he got 41 months in prison, et cetera. Another man got 8 months in jail. It's a nonviolent offense. It's actually been questioned and challenged in court now by three different federal judges whether this applies. There are several motions in several cases by defense lawyers to dismiss it because it was never intended to be used this way.
Hang on 1 second. Short break. Julie Kelly, Cynthia Hughes, and the lawyers on the other side of a short commercial break in the war room. People used to laugh at preppers. Hey, they ain't not laughing anymore. Listen, if you don't have at least a month's worth of emergency food stored up, you're asking for trouble, and I mean real trouble. This is no time to mess around. We're facing existential threats like never before. So I urge you to do the right thing for you and your family. Take care of your future and take care of it today. Start off by getting a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leading preparedness company, and I personally rely on them for my own emergency food supply. Go to preparewithbannon.com. That is preparewithbannon.com and save 25% off their life-saving 4-week food kit. You can trust My Patriot Supply. The food is grown and packaged here in the United States of America, and it lasts up to 25 years in storage. It will be there when you and your family need it. Don't procrastinate. Use your agency. Take action, action, action. Go get your 25% discount
off the food that will someday get you through an emergency. Go to preparewithbannon.com. That's preparewithbannon, B-A-N-N-O-N.com. Preparewithbannon.com. Do it now.
War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, make sure you go check out MyPillow.com, promo code War Room. Your holiday shopping, Black Friday starts, guess what, this Friday. Okay, you don't need Pete Buttigieg to get involved in the logistics of MyPillow. You order it, you pay for it, you'll get it. Pretty simple. You got the towels, toppers, slippers, throw rugs. You've got the blankets, Giza sheets. Buy one, get one free. Historic 10-year pricing, as low as 1998 on the classic pillow. Also, you got the towel six pack, $109, now $39.99. Go to mypillow.com, promo code War Room. Support the fight for freedom and the fight for liberty. Speaking of that, let's go to Cynthia Hughes. She's one of the individuals trying to coordinate this for the health and welfare of the families of the political prisoners of 6 January, and also now try to get legal representation. So before I bring Joe McBride, the lawyer, in, explain to the audience once again, what's been the problem with the legal representation?
So, you know, these defendants are beholden to, you know, these very biased public, you know, what I call pretenders, but public defenders, the pool of attorneys that they have, because they can't afford to, you know, hire their own attorneys. There's no, you know, these are not simple, you know, cases, simple charges. You know, these are going to require, you know, a lot of manpower, a lot of time. Also, you know, travel time. You know, these cases are most likely going to go to trial because people are not going to accept plea deals. Some are, but most are not. I could tell you, most of the guys, you know, that are detained are not going to take plea deals. Maybe one or two, but the majority will not. And, you know, you need a good, profound lawyer that's going to come in and win and exonerate these guys, not just, you know, win, exonerate them. And that requires money. You know, Joe already has a couple of, you know, clients that, you know, have, you know, serious charges that require a lot of manpower. And we need to have Joe take on more cases. We need somebody to drop us $500,000 today, Steve, because we need to have our own attorneys on these cases. I got a text message this morning from a wife. She shared with me a communication she received from, you know, her husband's lawyer. And he basically said, you know, she has to talk her husband into taking a plea deal. He's looking at like 7 or 8 years in prison. And he has no criminal history. Why should he take a plea deal like that? This is a public defender who doesn't want to put the time or the energy into the case. Maybe he's a Democrat. I don't know. Maybe he's biased. I don't know. You know, and he's insensitive. You know, maybe yesterday when they were at their status hearing, you know, he made a comment about, you know, the gentleman's beard. These people are either they're separated from their families. They're facing years in prison. They need profound attorneys. I can't stress it enough. The legal defense part of this whole nightmare is of the utmost importance. You hear Julie talk about it all the time.
So let's bring in Joe McBride. Joe, walk us through where we are legally with all this.
Good morning, Steve. It's good to be here. It's good to see everyone. Hello, Cynthia. So where we are is sort of no man's land on a lot of these cases. What we have is a situation where the discovery process has been dragged out for the better part of a year. During that time, those charged persons who have been detained under egregious and horrible conditions. Those conditions are specifically used against January 6ers in order to force pleas, in order to break them psychologically, physically, mentally, spiritually, in order to get them to accept deals that are entirely unfair so as to put an end to the torturous conditions that they have been enduring in violation of their human and constitutional rights. And in conjunction with that, we have a handful of attorneys who are who are warriors, who are born and bred for this fight, who very much want to be in this fight for a multitude of reasons, starting with our clients' freedom. And then you have a group of attorneys who have no business representing these January 6ers whatsoever, because they, quite frankly, cannot get past their own political biases. And we understand that sometimes certain cases aren't comfortable for everyone. But as a lawyer, if you're stepping to a case and if you're not able to go all in and put yourself in the shoes of your client and zealously advocate for their rights under any circumstance, then you should recuse yourself in that case. But because a lot of these people have been assigned these cases by their institutional providers, they feel pressure not to do that. So what Cynthia is getting at and what Julia has been getting at for a long time as well is to, in order to get these people the representation that they need, that we need people from the private bar who are hand-selected, vetted, and ready to go all in defense of any January 6er that they will represent.
Let me ask you, look, even people on the right are not following this, and a lot of people just want this to go away. We're doing it because you gotta have these guys' backs, right? Even the ones that cause problems, you know, they got to be fairly dealt with, right? But here's sure. one of the issues I think. Here's one of the issues I think you get is that for people who don't follow, and then the American people is not following it at all. You see the shaman, right? Who's kind of, you know, the guy they've had there with the crazy pictures is up on Nancy Pelosi's thing. You see the shaman, and all of a sudden he gets a 4-year sentence after being already confined for a year. The average guy that's just going to work saying, "Hey, this must be pretty serious. They just gave some guy 4 years in a federal prison." So what's your response to that for the people that are not focused on this when they see the guy who's most emblematic and been in the most Getty photos getting 4 years? It all of a sudden people go, well, that must be something because you got drug dealers getting 18 months or you got the guy the other day has got 10 arrests that plowed through the Waukesha, parade, the Christmas parade, killing people and maiming, you know, children. He's let out on a $1,000 bond, but the average guy looks at it and says, you got 4 years. How did that happen? And what is that supposed to show about what the reality of this thing is?
Sure. That's a very good point, Steve, and an important question. And the answer is that if you are a left-leaning person, and if you commit one of these crimes, you're going to be given a pass, and Vice President Kamala Harris will bail you out of jail via her bail fund. But if you trespass or take a walk during a political protest, let's concede the fact that it may be into an area that you're technically not supposed to be in, but you're going to get 4 years in prison for that. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's politically motivated. This is a political witch hunt. You have to ask yourself, for the person who's not involved in this or doesn't really know so much, does the punishment fit the crime? When have we ever heard of in the history
were his lawyers public defenders or were they lawyers that he signed up?
I believe that he was, I know that he was represented by somebody from the private bar. I don't want to get too much into the weeds about, you know,
did Julie Kelly's point about this stopping of a public official event, which is, I guess you take it, there's some question about, is that supposed to be applied here? Is that what he was sentenced for?
Yes. It's a ridiculous charge. The charge doesn't apply here. Us defense lawyers who are preparing to go to trial are going to go after that charge.
Hang on, slow down. Why is it a ridiculous charge? And why? Julie's not a lawyer. She's a reporter. You're a lawyer. Why is it a ridiculous charge? And why does it not apply here?
It's a charge that has to do with obstructing a governmental proceeding. I don't want to. It's very arduous to get into the weeds here. What I can say is this. I don't want to give away what we're going to do in our motions. What I can say is this. It does not apply to anybody who showed up at the Capitol that day. When you read the legislative history and the reasons surrounding why that law was formed, it has nothing to do with somebody coming to a protest to protest the election. They're very, very different charges. I don't want to give away the farm in terms of what we're going to assert in our motions.
Got it. Okay, you said you've got a team of warriors now prepared to do this. So these are going to be hard-hitting, smash-mouth lawyers, advocates like yourself?
No doubt about it. These people we have personally vetted, people who have come to the table and say, listen, you know, Joe, Julie, Cynthia, we believe in what you're doing. And we are going to, we want to join you. We are tired of sort of being in the shadows. We would not necessarily step up into public view in other cases in the past because we're not entirely sure if that would have been helpful then. But we feel compelled to join you because we are outraged over the treatment of January 6ers. We are sick to our stomach about how the President of the United States has mischaracterized them to the public. And we object to the way that the media industrial complex and the propaganda machine of the leftist media has held your clients out to the public. It is wrong. We need lions, we need tigers, we need fire-breathing dragons to go in there and to stand up to the government, who was the big bully in the schoolyard, who's not used to being punched in the face.
Okay, Cynthia, how do people then get access? Give us your, not just social media, how do people find out more about what you're doing with Joe McBride and the team?
So, Steve, just really quick, I mean, do you see what I mean? Who wouldn't want to be represented by Joseph McBride? That's what we need on every one of these cases. Like he said, a fire-breathing dragon. And that's what some of the lawyers, I talk to lawyers every single day that are ready to step up and take on this fight and, you know, and join me and Julie and Joe and replace these public pretenders. And that is what we need. But we need the funding to do that. So
okay.
I asked
how do people okay I got just how do people get there run just tell give us the location mm-hmm. people can go and read and make a decision for themselves how do they get there
okay patriotfreedomproject.com we have a legal defense fund set up we have the Thanksgiving the 1-6 Thanksgiving pledge all week long you can find us on
Cynthia information about Joe McBride and the other people he's putting together that'll be up there that people can go and get a sense of this.
I actually, you know what? I don't have anything on there specifically about the lawyers, but I will put something up there about the lawyers. I will work on that.
Yeah, I think.
But if anybody contacts me, I can put them in touch with Joe or any of the other.
But my recommendation is put it up. McBride's so impressive. I would just put up the resumes of the guys. He's going to bring in fire breathers. Let's see the fire breathers. Let people make them. People want to do due diligence. Let them have the opportunity to do due diligence. Julie Kelly, we got to bounce. But Julie Kelly, where's this story going to go? We got about a minute. Tell us what your next big breaking scoop's going to be.
I think what I'm working on right now is exposing what police officers did to Roseanne Boylan, the second woman who died on Capitol grounds that day, very likely at the hands of police. And so I've been covering that story. We're trying to expose that. Thank you again to Joe McBride, who has helped in one of his motions. So now just listening to mostly the sentencing hearing and waiting to see what happens with discovery. As Joe just said, they continue to delay it and, you know, getting ready for some of these trials to start in the spring.
We're going to have Julie back on about this Boylan situation. Julie, you're a warrior. Cynthia Hughes, you're a patriot. You've had people's back. Joe McBride, you're a fighter. Great segment. This is three tough hombres right here. Appreciate you guys coming on. Cynthia, we're going to make sure we put it up on every platform. But my strong recommendation, let's get the resumes up of the lawyers so people can do some due diligence. Fantastic. Thank you guys for joining us. Okay. There you have it. We're going to have a lot more of that. I think the more information people have, the better, right? They make better informed decisions about what's going on. That's why you need people that can punch back like Joe McBride. Okay, short commercial break. Got a very special guest going to join us. America's situation in the world. We're going to end the show with where we actually stand in a very dangerous world. Where is the United States of America right now? Eric Prince joins us in the War Room next.
Watch and see, it's all started, everything's begun, and you are over, cause we're taking down the CCP, spread the word all through Hong Kong, we will fight till they're all gone, we rejoice when there's no more, let's take down the CCP, they have all lied for too long.
Big tech monitors us, censors us, deplatforms us. Conservatives have been helpless to do anything about it until now. Join Getter, the social media platform that supports free speech and opposes cancel culture. On Getter, you can express your political beliefs without fear of Silicon Valley liberals coming after you. Getter is led by former Trump advisor and War Room co-host Jason Miller, who saw what big tech did to President Trump and decided to fight back. Getter is the fastest growing social media platform in history, with 2 million users, including prominent conservatives like Mike Pompeo, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Steve Bannon. Join Getter. It's in the App Store, the Google Play Store, and at Getter.com. Longer posts, longer videos, sharper and clearer pictures. And unlike the Silicon Valley oligarchs, Getter will never sell your data. Send a message today. Join Getter. It's time to cancel cancel culture.
So honored to have Eric Prince in studio. Eric, in a very dangerous time, we've argued on unrestricted warfare. Since we haven't confronted information warfare, since we haven't confronted on economic warfare, we are rapidly heading towards kinetic war, either the South China Sea, Taiwan, or in defense of India up in the northwest frontier. Give us a global, your global view of where is the United States right now as far as national security goes.
Well, the debacle in Afghanistan and that the images of people clinging to airplanes as they're taking off, if we're supposed to be the world's sole superpower, it it sent a very bad message to both friend and enemy alike. Certainly to the enemies that the United States will cut and run in a very irresponsible way. There was lots of options given for the United States to keep a lid on the terrorists in Afghanistan, but those are rejected. So what the Chinese take away from it, I'd be, you know, it is, Taiwan is Han China, but free. And so it's, it is the ultimate irritant to the CCP, and they want to squash it. I wouldn't be surprised if after the Olympics, after the Winter Olympics in February, March this year, that some unconventional warfare approaches by China were pursued. You know, they've taken islands throughout the South China Sea, the latest being some from the Philippines with their maritime militia. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them had a shipwreck on one of the small islands that belong to Taiwan. Maybe there's a 50 or 100 man garrison there, and they take it and they kind of as a test to see what does the West do to push back. So hopefully the smart people in Washington, and I say that in very loose quotes, are thinking of unconventional.
Who
warfare.
Are the smart people in Washington? Well, in this Biden
I'm saying the people that
in the permanent national security state and the intel community is a disaster. You just saw on the hypersonic missile. Hypersonic missile too hyped?
I think a little bit too hyped. Just because it flies fast doesn't necessarily mean it can target and adjust. That being said, you know, the United States defense apparatus should not be caught by surprise, but our intelligence apparatus has been blinded because of bad communication system, a bad Booz Allen communication system provided to the agency, burned a lot of agents. So look, I hope there is in the continuum of conflict, it's not all aircraft carriers, tanks, and conventional stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens in the murky middle that the opponents will push on, and the United States has to have some clever ways to push back. It cannot only resort to the JDAM model.
Is the Chinese Communist Party rolling us up? I mean, there people talk about our containment from the South China Sea to working with India, but the reality is they're in the Bahamas, they're in the Caribbean, they control the Panama Canal. They're deep. They got deep roots now into Latin America. Are they actually surrounding the United States? Are they containing the United States instead of vice versa?
They are putting more dots on the map. It doesn't necessarily mean they can control, but it certainly means they can project or influence from there. And so I think the approach has to be, you know, when Ronald Reagan took office in 1980, it would have had 35 years of containment of Soviet communism. And Ronald Reagan in the Oval Office said, we're going to F the commies and we're going to go back at them economically, politically, culturally, socially, in every way. And that's what the next president of the United States needs to do to go back at this. It's not just a communism issue. It's a defense of Western civilization issue, and to push back across the whole spectrum on these issues. And it's done mostly with unconventional warfare, intelligence, those kind of programs. It requires conventional deterrence, but it requires a lot of below the horizon engagement.
So what would you be doing in Taiwan right now? I've got about 2 minutes. Taiwan is going to be the flashpoint in the South China Sea, whether we like it or not, correct?
Sure. Taiwan needs to step up their own defenses. They don't spend even 2% of their GDP on defense, right? Trump was right to complain about NATO not spending 2%. We don't need to consider spending American blood and treasure defending Taiwan if they're not going to defend themselves. But what they should do is build some very good indirect fire capability. I would maximize the use of small submarines, okay? 100 mini submarines really cripples the math problem of how does the CCP
don't the move. CCP have that in the South China Sea right now, these small pocket submarines?
Sure, but Taiwan launching them from small concealed bunkers along the coast would create a huge math problem of 20, 30, 50, each carrying six Mark 48 sized torpedoes would put a lot of Chinese amphibious assault ships on the bottom.
Given that Taiwan's a priority, the chip advanced chip design's a priority, are we going to get sucked into a war in Ukraine because of NATO and because of the Russians building up on that front as much as being promulgated by NATO?
I think that is mostly a gas and pipeline negotiation issue versus Putin trying to invade Ukraine. That would be a very, very bloody fight. The Ukrainians woke up after the Donbas was seized, and they built some pretty capable military forces which held the Russian regulars at bay. So I don't think he's priming for an invasion. But again, they specialize. They have learned the ways of hybrid warfare, so learn to fight back in that sphere.
Is NATO prepared, or this European army that Macron's trying to prepare, are they prepared to defend and get involved in the Ukraine? Because I know they're going to be looking for the United States to get in right away.
Look, for example, when the U.S. invaded Libya, deposed Gaddafi, the NATO aircraft ran out of bombs within 3 days. So they didn't even have the logistics support to keep the cyclic rate of sorties for sustained combat. So I would not, if you're depending on NATO, you should get a bigger phone book for who to call.
Eric, thank you very much for dropping by. Eric Prince, always at the tip
Happy Thanksgiving.
Always at the tip of the spear as far as national security goes. Okay. By the way, President Trump, if the people around him had listened to you in the summer of 17, we would not have the debacle in Afghanistan. Your plan was absolutely bulletproof. Okay, we'll be back here at 5 o'clock today. A lot of explosive. We're going to go through a lot more polling, a lot more on the economic side today at 5 o'clock. See you then. Because we're taking down the CCP.